The Bill Shakespeare Project presents This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending Monday, March the 2nd, 2015. Hola, Bartophiles, and welcome to the 40th episode of This Week in Shakespeare, a podcast brought to you by the Bill Shakespeare Project. This is our weekly opportunity to let you know about the latest and greatest in Willie Shakespeare headlines coming at you every Tuesday. The goal here is to hit you with a quick blast, no more than 10 minutes tops, of Bard-related news. Plus, we'll try to serve up some historical dates for what was the past 7 days of the year. So, this week's news stories included, the Daily News of Maryville, Tennessee ran a story on their annual Shakespeare Festival, happening March the 7th, at the Great Smoky Mountains Heritage Center in Townsend, Tennessee. This year's focus will be on Much Ado About Nothing. The Daily Mail ran a story on statements made by actor Mark Rylance discussing the need for the freedom to edit objectionable lines from Shakespeare's plays, with his comments focused on anti-Semitism, as he says those lines have a greater resonance after the Holocaust. While I agree to a certain extent, I think that their removal should add something to the play, not just merely remove something unsavory. But that's just my two cents. And with such a statement, it's no surprise that there was reaction, including an op-ed piece in The Telegraph titled, "Censor Shakespeare? I'd rather be offended by him." The Guardian also ran an op-ed that thoughtfully discussed how such changes could be made and still stay true to the meaning of the play. The Kilgore News-Herald ran a story on the Texas Shakespeare Festival, readying its 30th season this summer, which includes A Midsummer Night's Dream and Twelfth Night. The Georgia Strait ran a story on Shakespeare Rhapsody, a 60-minute review of A Midsummer Night's Dream, Romeo and Juliet, and The Tempest that can introduce the newbie to Shakespeare. Cincinnati.com ran a story on the announcement by Cincinnati Shakespeare Company of their 2015 season, including As You Like It, Henry VI Part 1, Julius Caesar, and Antony and Cleopatra. The Union Tribune ran a story on the Old Globe Theater and San Diego Public Library landing the only California stop on next year's first folio tour. The Daily Record covered the Shakespeare Theater of New Jersey's announcement of their 2015 season, including Love's Labor's Lost and The Merry Wives of Windsor. The Houston Press ran a story on the production of A Midsummer Night's Dream by Stark Naked Shakespeare, running through March 21st at Studio 101 in Houston, Texas. Side note, my son Kyle will be swimming in the NCAA Division III championships that week, and my wife wants me to take in some Shakespeare. So if we can fit it in, I will get you a review by the end of the month. The Casper Star Tribune ran a feature on the many Shakespeare plays coming to Wyoming as part of the Shakespeare Project, a big theater collaboration between the University of Wyoming and actors from the London stage, with shows including Midsummer, Much Ado, Macbeth, and Merchant of Venice. What? Only plays with M words in the title? Philly.com named Macbeth by Arden Theatre Company through late April as new and noteworthy. The Irish Times previewed A Midsummer Night's Dream by the Abbey Theatre in Dublin, Ireland, running until March 28th. It's a lengthy preview discussing not only the nursing home setting, but also hinting that Shakespeare may have been on psychotropic drugs while writing the play. The Independent then reviewed the production as audacious and gives the surreal a realistic spin. Sounds awesome. And finally, the Orlando Sentinel reviewed Henry V by Orlando Shakespeare Theater, saying that the production running through March 14th at the Lounge Shakespeare Center in Orlando, Florida, has its 8-actor cast take the idea of imagination and run with it. Now, let's take a look back on the last 7 days and how they relate to Shakespearean history, both his and the history in his plays. On February 24th, 1998, Elton John was knighted. His Shakespeare connection? Well, he wrote songs for Disney's The Lion King, which is basically Hamlet and the Animal Kingdom, only with a happier ending. On February 25th, 1601, Robert Devereux, the second Earl of Essex, was executed for treason against Elizabeth I after an attempted coup d'etat a year earlier. Remember, too, that his supporters had paid for a performance of Richard II before that failed coup. On February 26th, 1564, Christopher Marlowe, English playwright and contemporary of Shakespeare, was baptized in Canterbury. His plays included Dr. Faustus and The Jew of Malta. On February 27, 1902, American writer and novelist John Steinbeck was born. His last novel, written in 1961, was titled The Winter of Our Discontent, a reference to the opening line of Shakespeare's Richard III. On February 28, 1923, Charles Durning was born. He was an American actor who got his first break when Joe Papp cast him in a bit part in Shakespeare in the Park production in 1962. March the 1st is St. David's Day, a day of national celebration in Wales, which is mentioned in Henry V. On March the 2nd, 1316, Robert II of Scotland was born. An ancestor of the future King James I of England and King James VI of Scotland, according to legend, he was a descendant on his father's side of Fleance, the son of Banquo from the play Macbeth. And that was your week in Shakespeare. Been listening to the Bill Shakespeare Project presentation of This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending March the 2nd, 2015. For our blog and previous Twiz episodes, including links to the news stories we've covered, as well as the real Bill Shakespeare Project podcast, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com. And we shall catch you next week.